Hello, and thank you for listening to this week's episode of Hereabouts, Asian American Midwest Radio. Hereabouts is produced by WFHB and Indiana University's Asian Culture Center. We ask critical questions about identity, culture, community, and shared assumptions. We air every other Wednesday from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. in the evening. Today, I'm here with Hannah, a student from IU Indy who went on the Retracing Our Roots trip that IUACC and other multicultural departments helped host on the weekend of January 19th. So, Hannah, could you please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit more about you?
Yeah, okay. So my name's Hannah. I go by she, her. I am a sophomore at IUI studying psychology. I'm also the vice president of Asian Student Union and also event coordinator for Vietnamese Student Association.
Well, that's awesome. It seems like you're super involved. So you mentioned that you are doing a bunch of clubs, such as the Asian Student Union at IU Indy, as well as the Vietnamese Student Association. How did you get involved in those, in being part of the leadership for those organizations?
So last year they had their internship program, and after the first semester of being a general body member, I had been really interested in the community and I really wanted to be involved in the leadership side of it and being part of like that background team that like puts all the events together. So I did the internship program the spring semester and I like did a few different roles, figured out what kind of things I wanted to do. Originally, I hadn't been planning on being on board for Asian Student Union, but my close friend wanted to be president, but they needed someone that they could rely on to like be like their right-hand person. So we decided to do president and vice president together. So that's how I got on ASU board, but I still really enjoyed the Vietnamese community. And so I decided to continue and choose a smaller role on that board as well for this year.
Awesome. So Hannah, we met through Retracing Our Roots at Bradford Woods. And maybe for those who aren't familiar, we can like give them a little bit of background about what like, you know, Retracing Our Roots is. It's sort of a program that has been going on for quite a bit of time. I want to say about 5 or so years. It's relatively recent. The students have been really receptive to Retracing Our Roots. And what usually happens is that we will all go to Bradford Woods and stay one night at one of the cabins, and we will participate in workshops, get to know other people from other universities, as that's how Hannah and I met. But also we talk about very important topics related to Asian culture and identity. And yeah, maybe we can talk about the various workshops we had. Hannah, which one was your favorite?
Oh, gosh.
If not, I can do a quick run through of all the workshops we had.
Yeah, can you do that real quick?
Yeah, of course. So our first workshop was, so we arrived at Bradford Woods on Friday, January 19th, and we all had dinner and got to know each other. And then the next morning, Saturday, bright and early, we had our next, our very first workshop, which was historical backgrounds on Model Minority Stereotypes by Ash, who is a APIDA specialist at IU Indy as well. And then after that, we had our second workshop, which was titled Identity and Our Lived Experiences by Jonathan Kang, who was a PhD student in counseling and psychology at IU. And he's also the mental health professional here at IUACC. Then after that, we had our third workshop, which is titled Navigating Racialized Visibility as Midwest Asian Americans by Professor Trio, who is an American Studies and Asian American Studies professor at Purdue University. Then our very last one was by our master's student, Samantha Huang, and she is studying higher education and student affairs, and she did touched on the more media and more lived experiences portion of our event. So those were the four workshops. Did you have a favorite? Was there one that stood out to you?
I did really enjoy the identity workshop and the model minority workshop, because those topics are very important to me, especially the model minority part, because that is such a huge reason why it's so hard for, first of all, Asians, but especially East Asians, to understand and sympathize that they also deal with systematic racism. It's because of that model minority myth. And it was really cool to be able to hear about it and learn more of the history of how it came to be. And I also really like the identity, because me personally, I'm a very introspective person. So figuring out my identities is I guess I do for fun in a way, or it's just nice to understand yourself. So again, that kind of workshop was a nice way to help me understand my identity as an Asian American.
Yeah, 100%. I totally agree with you. I thought all of the workshops were really informative, but I have to say the model minority stereotype workshop really struck a chord with me, because like you said, it's something that we experience almost every day. And I think there's something very powerful about being able to name your experiences or identify them, because prior to retracing our roots and prior to taking an Asian American studies class here at IU, I didn't know exactly how to articulate how I felt. And there's something very humanizing and liberating about knowing what's happening to you and knowing that, you're not crazy, and that, things like the model minority myth does exist and it does impact Asian Americans and Asians in various ways. That type of discrimination looks very different from what a Black or a Brown person might experience in America. So that's certainly something that I was thinking about while we were participating in that specific workshop. And I really appreciated how Ash brought up kind of contemporary or popular examples that I guess we'd all relate to. I remember she pulled up a video clip of Fresh Off the Boat.
Yeah,
and kind of talked about how common it is for Asian Americans and Asian people to apologize, even though things that happen may not be their fault, but it's kind of reflexive in a way. And additionally, I think that's also really interesting when you think about it in the context of gender as well, because as women, we are also predisposed and expected to be super apologetic about everything. And I have been trying to catch myself sometimes when I write emails or when I converse in a group setting, I try to not say I'm sorry too much for things that aren't my fault. But it's I've been trying to catch myself before I reflexively say I'm sorry for something that I don't need to be sorry for. So that's a kind of a tangent, but I don't know if you related to that at all.
No, definitely. First, like I said, humanizing and liberating, I think those are a very good way to describe how it felt to have what we've experienced put into words, and then to know that we all share that. And also, I very much agree with the I'm sorry thing, because I know I have such a problem with it. And my experience is a little bit different because I was raised by white people. So I don't have that Asian culture influence on my growing up. And yet I still somehow ended up in that problem of apologizing a lot.
No, that's really interesting that you bring that up. If you don't mind me asking, were you adopted?
Where I was adopted from?
Yeah, or just kind of your family history, maybe that might be of help, or give us more context in regards to the discussion.
Yeah, so I was adopted from China, and I grew up in a small rural town that's like Northeast Indiana. So like it was like all white people, all Christian farming white people.
Yeah.
And I was like one of like three Asian girls, and we're also like the only, and then all three of us being like one of the only like Asian people were also all Chinese, but then also the other two were sisters. So it's like there is a like only two sets, I guess, of like Chinese people. So like that was just like put in perspective, like how very little the diversity was. So, you know, I like heard all that stuff, like go back to your own country and, you know, the Chinese, Japanese eyes, that whole stuff. But yeah, so it was really interesting. Like, I don't know, it did feel, and even still now, it feels like kind of isolating in a way, because I can't connect with other people, other Asians, and the shared experience of growing up as an Asian, because I'm not from an immigrant family, or my family, like, I didn't have my culture surrounding me, but I still, like, experience the racism and discrimination.
Right.
So it's like, we share that, but then I'm also not alone in most spaces, and the fact that I can't share like the cultural aspects of growing up.
That's really interesting. I don't know if you had a chance to talk to Jenna, who also sat at our table, I think, but she's also adopted. And she, because I remember they split us in half in that middle of the table. So I was with Jenna and our peer. And we talked about, you know, our experiences with discrimination during the second workshop, I think, about identities. And it was really interesting to hear from their perspectives, because Jenna talked about how she also experienced what you kind of described, being raised in a white household with parents who didn't necessarily know or connect to the culture. And growing up in a predominantly white space where she was commonly only the only Asian person in the room. And that was definitely something that I thought was really interesting to hear, because, you know, personally, I grew up in two places. So I grew up in Bloomington, but also in Thailand. So obviously back home in Thailand, we are the majority. So there isn't really like, race wasn't really something that I had on my mind when I was in Bangkok, Thailand. But when I was in Bloomington, I think it was interesting, because as a kid, you don't really know, and you don't really notice stuff, and you don't really understand the whole, you know, racial tensions and or like racial stereotypes. But there is like this sort of feeling, and it's a feeling of like sometimes not being super welcomed in spaces. So I could definitely relate to that point. Interestingly, though, the other peer that we were talking to, I can't remember his name, I feel so bad, but he is half Asian, but he's white passing. So for a lot of the prompts that we were given about, you know, how was your life growing up as an Asian person or Asian American in America, he had a lot of different experiences because he was white passing. And I think that's definitely an element that I appreciated hearing about, because I always wondered, you know, he talked about how like he didn't feel fully accepted into either of his circles, in terms of like maybe his white friend group and his Asian friend groups. They all considered him an other almost, and that kind of became like a gray area for him. So anyways, that was just something I really appreciated about the workshops, just hearing about other people's experiences and how, like you said, we were raised differently and probably in different spaces as well. But, you know, we are connected by the different things, usually discrimination, that we experience in our everyday lives.
Yeah, I did. That was something else I also really enjoyed, was like hearing everyone's stories. But also, like, I'm curious, like, how much time did you spend like growing up in Thailand? And then how old were you? And then like, what was that like coming to America, and then like growing up the rest like here.
Yeah, so I was born in Bangkok, Thailand. My parents are Thai people. And I was here in Bloomington. I came here when I was 4 and I left when I was 9. So I was here for 5 years. And that might seem like a short amount of time to some people, but I think it was very formative because those are very formative years. Like when you're 3 to 4, you kind of learn and pick up languages really fast. So, and you pick up like ideas and cultures and whatnot really fast as well because you're kind of like a sponge. But my mom did her PhD here at IU Bloomington, and I just, followed her over as well as my father. And I went to school locally, and it was definitely interesting because I knew a bit of English, but I was also 4 years old. So I couldn't really communicate with people, which was interesting. And I distinctly remember that not being quite an obstacle, actually, because we were all in preschool or like kindergarten. And all you really need to do is like point at stuff and be like, let's play with those blocks over there or something. So the process of actually like assimilating, I don't really like that term, but like the process of getting used to other people and in a new place and learning the language wasn't very difficult for me, I think. It kind of had the reverse effect when I returned back home when I was 9 years old. So at this point, I had been in the US for 5 years, and my mom hadn't, like, didn't have the time to teach me my native language. So I could say a few things, and I obviously understood everything, but I couldn't read or write, which was quite a challenge when I came back home. And, at that point, I'm like, what? I'm like in fifth or sixth grade. And that's like kind of essential that you need to know how to read and write in the given language. So that was very difficult for me to try to assimilate and also like get used to like my own home culture, which is so interesting in so many ways. But eventually I learned the language and how to read and how to write, and that was pretty nice. Does that answer your question at all?
Like I said, it's like I remember like well like your story was like one of the ones that like stood out to me. Like that was what really made me appreciate like being able to go to this trip. Just me and like all those kinds of different stories.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. So why did you originally decide to sign up for Retracing Our Roots?
Okay, so I had actually heard about the trip last year, like after it had happened. So like honestly, I was like waiting for the trip to happen again, like this entire time, like up until like I actually went on it. But I just really liked the idea of it because also like when I heard about the trip, I hadn't been that immersed in IUI's Asian community. So I just thought it sounded like a really cool opportunity to meet other people who like were like me. Like Asian people going to college, whatever. And also like it was cool to like be able to meet people from like other schools too.
I think it's a great program, and I think it's great that it's like across campuses as well, because obviously we're kind of from the same university, but also not because we're on different campuses. And I liked, having people from Purdue there as well, even though we're supposed to be mortal enemies with Purdue. So we kind of talked about a lot of things. We talked about our backgrounds, and we talked about the workshops that we had at Retracing Our Roots. So, a central theme of like our conversation has been connection and hearing from other people, learning about other people, even though we are categorized into the same racial group. But there's so many nuances to someone's experience, as well as there's so many different ethnicities of Asian people that it's interesting to hear from so many other folks about their life and how they've lived and how they perceive culture. So, in your opinion, why is it important for people to kind of do events like this? Like, why is it important for us to come together, to plan workshops, to plan events and connect?
I feel like kind of redundant saying this because like we've kind of been saying the entire time, but just these are like these kind of things are important because like we've said, like it builds community and it like makes it creates opportunity for like understanding each other and like bridging like distances between us. And especially like in our society, I feel like it's so important for us to find community and trust and like faith in each other when there's like so much going against us right now. And this was also like especially true in like 2020 when all the racism against Asian people were happening. But yeah, like when things like that happen, I think it's really important to have each other, and events and workshops like this like help us do that.
Yeah, certainly. I agree with you. And I think you touched on a really important point about, you know, the state of the world and the state of America right now, kind of like the idea of like polarization. Do you think polarization in the context of the U.S. is something that's kind of new, or do you think it has always existed?
I think it has always existed. I mean, just like even I'm not like a history buff, but like what I remember from even just like trying to write out the Constitution and then, you know, slavery, like yeah, the obvious point. But I just and then also like different like political parties have always existed. So for in the context of the U.S., I think unfortunately our country has like always had polarization. And it's just evolved for different topics as time goes on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like things like retracing our roots are so important because it helps us realize and understand that, yes, we look different and we do have our own unique backgrounds and traditions. But in the end, like we are all still human. We all do like have ways to connect with each other, and we should connect with each other.
Yeah. Kind of in the same vein. I think we can both speak to like maybe the different IU campuses, but do you have any opinions about how institutions like IUI and IUB can get more involved with diversity initiatives, or maybe like not even just institutions, but like other IU students, how should they get involved with, you know, more cultural events?
Well, for the institutions, I feel like there should be more events that like take inspiration from cultures. Like right now, especially for like IU, like it is a very both campuses are very predominantly white. And so like all of their events are very like catered for like the white gaze. But I feel like if there are more events that had more influences from other cultures or just had more cultural informative events that were more advertised. Like, I feel like for me, at least like retracing our roots, at least at IUI, wasn't the most advertised. And I feel like if the institutions put more effort into like endorsing these kind of events, or like events like Lunar New Year, which is hosted by ASH, then I feel like it'd be a lot easier or better for students to like see, oh, these community spaces do exist and I can go to these spaces. Because I think that's a big problem, is that people just don't know these spaces exist.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, IUB is also very similar to IUI in the sense that, you know, it is predominantly white. And like you said, a lot of events, I wouldn't say, I think they're very good at supporting cultural events, but for other like quote unquote, like other like supposedly neutral events that are kind of geared towards like career prep or like other things. I think they could definitely benefit from having a multicultural lens on stuff. I think that at least for student groups here at IUB, there has been a push for that. I know that like the student government has like seats for the various Asian, like the various centers and multicultural like seats for people in cultural groups to kind of give their input. So I definitely think there has been progress on that front. But anyways, I think we are nearing the end of our time. If I guess this is the last question, if there is one thing you would like listeners to get out of this specific episode, what is it?
Okay, so it could be two things. First one, like get involved, like go to the events, not only from identities that are important to you, but also like any other, like step out of your comfort zone, I guess, and then are like from different backgrounds. And then also, which kind of goes along with that, just like be willing to talk to people from different backgrounds and like learn other people's stories. Yeah.
Perfect. That's beautiful. 100%. Okay. Well, thank you for coming on to the podcast. And thank you, the listeners, for listening to this week's episode of Hereabouts Asian American Midwest Radio. Hereabouts is produced by WFHB Community Radio and Indiana University's Asian Culture Center. We ask critical questions about identity, culture, community, and shared assumptions. We air every other Wednesday from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. in the evening. Please stay tuned for our next episode. This was Belle and Hannah, and we hope you enjoyed this week's episode.